Welcome to the Rob Aguilar Show here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Today's show is actually a show that was requested by a couple of listeners. We're going to talk about anxiety and panic attacks and what is the difference between the two. If there's a difference between the two, what causes it? Is it genetic? Is it pathological? What exactly is going on? And our expert today is Peggy Seelfon. She has actually a great book called Escape from Anxiety. And she also has a really cool website, 3minutestodestress.com. Check those out. If this is something that happens to you, if you have anxiety, if you have panic attacks, definitely check out that website. It's 3minutestodestress.com. Or the book, which is also available at Amazon, it's Escape from Anxiety. So this is an episode that I think you're going to find very interesting and very informative. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Roan Jewelry. You can find them at roanjewelry.com. You can also find us at Patreon. And this is a good way to support the show. This is also a good way to support Radio Free Brooklyn. For as little as $1 a month, you can support this show. You can also support this radio station, Radio Free Brooklyn. So make sure to check out our Patreon page and support. So we've got a great show lined up. Stick around. You do not want to be left out.
From A1 Studios in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, New York, this is the Rob Aguilar Show.
Peggy, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. It's a delight to be here with you.
Peggy, I am so happy that you're here because we get a lot of emails from listeners, from both men and women, but mostly a big chunk of our audience is men. And it's something that maybe they're not comfortable speaking about publicly because they're men, because we're supposed to be head of households and the man of the house. And sometimes they're not comfortable expressing the fact that they sometimes feel anxiety or have panic attacks, and they feel that maybe it's not manly enough to talk about this publicly because, you know, we have to be strong, we have to be men. And we're going to talk about anxiety, we're going to talk about panic attacks and what the difference is between anxiety and panic attacks. And sometimes I hear guys talk about, well, I'm feeling anxious, I'm getting anxiety, I'm having like an anxiety attack, or I'm having a panic attack. Can you help clarify what the difference is between the two?
That's a very good question, Rob. First of all, I think, you know, a lot of men have difficulty even recognizing that anything is happening in terms of their response or reaction to a moment. So a lot of times they're just kind of going through it, and it may even be sort of after the fact that they realize, wait a minute, you know, what I didn't feel very good there. How could I deal with that differently? And basically, panic attacks are part of anxiety, and it's a manifestation of anxiety. And for instance, I have a client who was held up at gunpoint in his own restaurant. And so he started having these panic attacks that were crippling. He'd be in a grocery store and he'd be triggered by someone who looked like the assailant. And boom, he'd start sweating and he'd be nervous and he'd start having a meltdown in the middle of a grocery store. He was just in a checkout line. There was no danger. So it can come up from real experiences. I mean, he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. Or it can be triggered from pre-programming, from very early experiences that happened in childhood, or, you know, something parents said or teachers said, or as young adults. And as an adult, our environment contributes to really inciting panic attacks. I mean, you look at our political system and you look at all the things that are happening in the world, and that creates a lot of just internal discomfort. So typically, anxiety and panic attacks come from some unconscious place, but are triggered by something conscious. So it's really about understanding some of this pre-programming and learning how to dismantle these reactive tendencies.
Once we start experiencing something like this, do we try to go back and find the cause, or how do we address it once someone's experiencing this? Because, for example, we had a listener once write in and say that everything kind of seemed perfect in his life. I think he said he was turning 30.
Mm-hmm.
and was planning a bash with his girlfriend. And one day at work, he thought he was having a heart attack to the point where they had to call 911.
Yeah.
And he went to the hospital. They couldn't find anything. Everything seemed fine in his life. And when he went to the doctor, everything was fine. There was nothing wrong that they could find physically. So they just kind of brushed it off as, well, you probably had an anxiety attack,
right,
or panic attack.
Right.
I think that's what they called it. He couldn't figure it out. So what happens in, is it something you think that maybe from his past triggered it? Or maybe the fact that here's someone that is in their 20s going into a new decade, into the 30s, that maybe triggered something in his mind and made him feel this way?
There's so many different trigger points. And it's really interesting because if you talk to a psychiatrist, they're going to want to do the talking technique of getting to the source of it and really understanding the cause. And that's great, but that can take 20 years. And a lot of the methodologies that I use just really cut through that and go to the energetic source and release it. So we store a lot of things physically in our bodies as we experience traumas, or, you know, it may be things that happened at the age of 2 or 3 that we're not really conscious about, but got stored in our unconscious. And perhaps he was having this sort of perfect life on the outside because that was what he desired and what he felt he wanted. But on the inside, he didn't feel he deserved it. And so he was fearful that it would suddenly fall apart at some point. And that started creating these internal conflicts, which then generate those panic attacks from one's own set of experiences, but you're not consciously necessarily connected to it. And so even though outwardly everything appears normal, inwardly there's a place where it really is out of balance. And so there are a lot of methodologies to really bring back that balance and bring back that harmony where the inner subconscious, the unconscious, is really connected to the conscious mind, and you're more one with everything that you are, and you're being more authentic. And a lot of times what I find with my clients is that they're not really being authentic in their lives. They're living who they think they're supposed to be, the roles they're supposed to be playing. Turning 30, I'm supposed to be married or have children or have this great job or be earning X amount of dollars. And we put these expectations on ourselves. And these expectations are typically frustrations waiting to happen. But again, we end up masking who we truly are. And so a lot of what I do in my training is with the Integrated Life Plan, which is a strategic coaching program, is bring that individual mind, body, really into harmony. So energetically, they're totally in balance. Their bodies work more optimally. Their minds are clearer. And they are able to dissolve these anxious experiences much more easily because they're in harmony. And when they get out of harmony, there's techniques to bring them back in. And that's what I did actually with this client who suffered from this PTSD, because a lot of times what happens, and I don't know if this particular listener had this occurrence, but what happens when someone starts having panic attacks is then they start getting fearful that they're going to have more panic attacks because they don't understand it and because it comes from such a deep place within. And so that hyper-focus on the fear of having the panic attack actually triggers potentially more panic attacks. And that creates this cycle. And so it's really about learning how to break the cycle. And the first thing is developing awareness and really tuning in that, okay, I have this issue. Because a lot of men have difficulty sort of accepting that this is something I need to address because they see it as a weakness, as you mentioned at the beginning. They see it as, well, I've got to be strong and I've got to be the head of my family and I have no time to be weak. I can't, and it's not weakness. It's really part, and I love your show, by the way, because I feel like it's the evolutionary man who is your listener. And that's really what this is about. It's part of our development. It's part of our growth. It's part of our moving to another level of understanding our humanness and really connecting to everything that we are.
I like how you put that all together, and it's definitely not a weakness. I think it's totally the opposite when you're able to recognize and create that awareness that you're talking about, that, well, yes, I have this situation that I need to address, but when I'm done figuring out how I'm going to work around this, I will actually be much stronger than before. It's, I think, learning how to turn that around, and it's all how you perceive it. It's a weakness if you don't tackle it on, if you don't address it. But if you accept it, understand it, and work with like a program like what you're offering, then you'll be much stronger in the end.
And that's a beautiful way to something. Absolutely. It's a beautiful way to put it, Rob. You're spot on. I mean, that is absolutely the key. And here's the thing. I'll just take you a little step further, because I'm kind of fascinated by the neurosciences and brain plasticity. So what also happens when you start having these panic attacks or having these moments of anxiety is they actually start grooving neural pathways in the brain that start channeling that in the same cycle. So if you don't address it, if you choose not to do anything about it, those channels get deeper and deeper, and you default into that more often and more regularly, and it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. And that's it. I was really pleased with this client who, you know, was held up at gunpoint and came to me. It was within 2.5 months of the experience, and we were able to really break that pattern of panic attacks and anxiety and build new neural pathways that were safe and that were productive and that were healthy and that were balanced. And it made such a huge transformation within, you know, 4 weeks. And he was back into his life fully with his family and his kids, and he was no longer having these episodes. And so, you know, the takeaway here is there's great hope that for anyone who might be listening who suffers from this, that there are tremendous ways to resolve it that are very accessible. And it's not something that is, you know, out of range or that you need special equipment or you have to particularly go anywhere. It's really learning some of the methodologies and incorporating it into your lifestyle in a way that it becomes a practice, so that at any time you become aware of that nervousness or the worry or the exaggerated reactions or poor judgment or you're suffering addictions, you can have this interrupter. And there's, again, a variety of them that are so accessible.
You said something very, very interesting. You said that in the mind, you start to kind of create a tracks that I envisioned, like tracks, like track marks.
Yeah.
Then this becomes normal to your brain if you don't do something to stop it.
Yeah, it actually becomes a habit. And, you know, some habits are really good. You know, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair. Those are good habits. But the anxiety eruption is a debilitating habit. And you start grooving that because it takes up less resources in the brain. And so you just sort of groove this pattern that you default into. And it's literally neural pathways in the brain. And you sort of just are on this track. You're exactly right. That's a great way to express it. And you get, you feel stuck in it, you know, and then that, again, creates more anxiety, more discomfort, more dis-ease. And here's the thing about anxiety, even stress, is that when it's chronic, not only do you have those neural pathways, but you are constantly in this fight or flight response to situations. And so what happens chronically is you're releasing these hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, which speeds up your heart rate and creates this feeling of nervousness, but it's to give you energy into your limbs so you can run away or fight the predator, right? But in the case of anxiety, the predator is your own fears. You're creating this within yourself, and yet your response mechanism biologically is happening, and it's taking all the energy away from your immune system, from your digestive system, from non-essential functions so that you can manage the situation at hand and be the strong winner. But the downside is, clearly, when you experience this for extended periods, your body is compromised. So people start getting sick, they get digestive problems, acid reflux, they get headaches, they get backaches. And typically, when you start developing these symptoms, they're signs that you are so out of balance, you need to really address this. And oftentimes, that's what propels men to act when they start getting physical problems. They start getting, such pains that they can't do the things in their life that they want to do, and it starts compromising their lives. So I'm hopeful that your listeners will not reach that point and hopefully, stop the pattern before it gets to that point, because ultimately it leads to heart attacks and strokes and, you know, very serious diseases. So we don't want that to happen if we can avoid it.
I can relate to what you said about, for example, something like acid reflux, because what happens, certain things in our lives become normal, and everything that you're saying makes so much sense and is falling into place. For example, stress, everyday stress with work.
Right.
It becomes normal to us. Work is stressful. The commute is stressful. Everything in between is stressful. So it becomes normal. And for a couple of years back, I would start feeling like an upset stomach and heartburn. But I'm like, I'm not eating unhealthy. I don't eat fast food. Everything that I try to eat is healthy. I'm not eating anything spicy. Why am I having acid reflux?
Right.
And then I start analyze things. I'm like, well, no, work is always stressful, but I always thrived off the stress. You know, it was part of the job. It was years ago when I worked on Wall Street. It was normal. And you actually kind of, in a weird way, got off
absolutely
on that stress, because you feel like you're doing a million things and you're accomplishing so many things and you're being successful at work, and stress is just part of it. So, make a long story short, I went to the doctor and he says, well, if you're feeling heartburn and all that, we should maybe do an upper endoscopy to make sure there's no damage to your esophagus and all that stuff. So went through all these studies and there was like slight damage. He says, I have to put you on Nexium. You know, adjust your diet. I said, well, my diet is, I don't think that's the issue. I'm in pretty decent shape. I work out. And he says, well, try the Nexium for a little bit, see how that helps. So that helped. But I also toned down the stress, work out a little bit more. And that kind of alleviated the situation. But sometimes we don't notice these things until there's a physical reaction and your body says, well, you got to slow down because you're going to do long-term damage. And like you said, you're not going to be able to enjoy your life, your kids one day, your wife, marriage and all that. I wasn't married at the time. I was still single. But it has a weird way of catching up to you.
Absolutely.
If you don't recognize those things. And even if you're not, I wasn't suffering from anxiety or anything. I was actually, like I said, living off that stress. This is me in the big leagues now, and this is how it's supposed to be. Not realizing that it would have long-term effects if I hadn't addressed it early on.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is really to be able to address it and bring it into balance. And, you know, what you described is a high. It's an adrenaline rush. You know, you there's good stress because it helps you feel alive. You're excited. You don't have fears or worries, you know, and that adrenaline speeds up the circulation. It makes the brain function keener. And it's great for temporary applications, or, you know, if you're making a speech, or like on Wall Street, it was a rush. I mean, it's a high all the time because, you know, you have to really produce and be alert and aware, and things are bouncing at you. And here's the problem, is that when you don't take any downtime to really restore and renew and balance, you know, you can't just live on tension because the body shuts down. And that's what happens. And right now, the lifestyles that we have, our culture promotes this craziness. You know, we're bombarded all the time by, you know, environmental pollution, the news, the beeping cell phones, the texting, the posting, the computers, emails, television, social, you know, all the social media stuff. And we're just barraged constantly. So there's no rest. You know, you're constantly in this high stress. And it is exciting. It's stimulating. But again, you have to take moments to just step back and learn how to balance it, or you will shut down. I guarantee you will get sick. It's just inevitable. The body cannot function long term without breaks. And what I'm talking about in terms of breaks is just within your day, taking 5 minutes out to just step away from your desk or step away from the craziness and just, you know, stretch, you know, just do some jumping jacks, or just sit and close your eyes and just quiet everything for 3 minutes. In fact, I have a 3minutestodistress.com is a place people can go and download an audio for free. And it's the number 3minutestodistress.com. And it's just a great little interrupter that you can have on your cell phone. And anytime during the day, if you just take those 3 minutes and decompress, I can't tell you how much more you get done. It gives you back so much more time because it gives the body time to recover and just regenerate. And you end up being so much more efficient, so much more effective. You see things more clearly and you get so much more done. So, you know, I have a lot of clients who say, well, but I don't have time to, you know, I can't do that. I'm in the middle of, yes, you always have time. 3 minutes. What is 3 minutes, you know? So it's really important to be able to just step back and integrate that within your life. And that's the challenge, because it takes some practice to do that and to make that a habit.
Let's say someone is having a panic attack and it happened on the way to work or on the subway or walking in the street to the office. What can you do in that moment to help alleviate that situation and possibly have it just kind of go away on its own or speed up that process? Because from what I've read in the research, like, the good thing is, I guess, they don't last that long. You know, you'll have a panic attack and maybe it'll last a couple of minutes and then you're okay. Mm-hmm. But what can you do to alleviate the situation once you're having a panic attack? Well, is there anything that people can
absolutely
do?
And the easiest thing to do is to really be aware of your breathing and slow your breathing down and take long deep breaths in and just deep breaths out. And what that does is it slows down, you know, your heart is speeding up, the circulation is speeding up when you have the panic attacks, so you're sweaty, everything is exaggerated. And so what you really want to do, and especially if you're on a subway, or I'm from New York, so, you know, we have subways, if you're on, you know, someplace where you know, you can't like do something physical or really, you know, get out and be able to interrupt it with some of the other methods that I have. The easiest and the quickest is to just take deep, slow breaths and set your mind not on the anxiety or the panic attack, but really focus on your breathing. Because what that does is that interrupts those neural pathways that we talked about earlier, and that stops that flow of energy that is so debilitating. And what it also does is it oxygenates all the cells in the body, which is what the cells need to be healthy and to be balanced, and it gets rid of toxins. So when you're anxious and tense, you're kind of building up this toxic overload, and especially mental toxins. And so this just gives you a little respite from it. And if you can break from it for just a minute or 2 minutes, that can bring you back into calmness. And that's the point of it, is to really come into this place of just ease and knowing that you're in control and that you're not losing control, you're not crazy, you're not going, you know, out of your mind. It's within your control, it's within your abilities, and it's just remembering to do it. And so breathing is built into your biology. You carry it with you wherever you go, so you can do it anywhere. And that's really the quickest and the easiest interrupter.
One important thing to keep in mind is you're not going to die. Some people say they feel like they're going to die, like, I'm dying. And you're really not. You're not going to die.
Feed that thought. I mean, I actually had the same experience when I had just turned 30, to be honest. And I had this experience where I thought I was having a heart attack. And I ran to the doctor who happened to be nearby where I was. And he looked at me and said, well, you're perfectly fine, you know. And that was my first panic attack. I had never experienced that before. And so it's coming into awareness that, yes, you're not going to die. And shifting your focus away from the panic, the fears, the traumas, and focusing it on your breathing. Just focusing it on your breathing and feeling safe and feeling in charge, feeling in control, and knowing that you are. Because really, that is your authentic self. Your authentic self is always in control. And it's not just an ego. It just is what is. And so when you tap back into that internal place, that's where you pull your strength from.
How are panic attacks treated? I've read where if you go to your doctor and they'll give you prescription medicine. I had someone on a previous show come on and talk about, he said that when he went to his doctor prescribed, I think it was like an antidepressant. I don't remember the name of it. But he said when he was reading all the possible side effects, he was like, I'm better off just kind of dealing with it. He felt that the side effects were far worse than having a panic attack.
I'm with you on that. Well, and here's the thing, you know, and I'll probably get myself in trouble for this, but I mean, look, if someone is really paralyzed and cannot function because they're so anxious, you know, it's kind of like they're adrift in the middle of a lake in a boat and they have no oars. So sometimes medication can be appropriate because they need an oar to get them to the edge. But my feeling is we have built into our biology amazing, awesome healing mechanisms that we just need to learn how to activate. So I very much believe in the self-healing approach. And I feel that, you know, doctors, and look, it's how they're trained, and it's great that in some cases it's appropriate, but I feel like in our country we've gotten to this place of over-medicating. Take a pill, chill, you know? And I think it's overdone. And in many cases, as your friend noticed, you know, there's a lot of side effects, and then you end up having to recover from all those side effects. So I really believe if someone is not, you know, completely paralyzed by the anxiety, that there are some just very appropriate interrupters, again, as I call them, that can really interfere with those neural pathways and interfere with that feeling of discomfort and fears, because that's really what it is. And coming back to this place of safety and of well-being and of balance. And it does take some work to get to that place, because it takes a lot of time to create these habits that we create. So it does take 21 to 90 days to form new habits. So if it's something that you're suffering from, it's worth the investment of your time to experiment with some of these different modalities, and I have over 100 of them in my book, that resonate with you. Because when you find the techniques that specifically work for you, and you start really habitualizing yourself to using them, you no longer face panic attacks. I mean, I was very pleased, again, with my client who, you know, had been held up at gunpoint and had these terrible, terrible panic attacks, and how quickly he was really able to, I mean, he really committed to the process and committed to really practicing every single day. I mean, not a day went by. And what often happens is people get to a place where they then get a comfort level and they stop practicing. And it's kind of like, again, you never stop brushing your teeth. It's something you should never stop practicing. It's something that your body and mind need. And again, it may be as simple as taking the 3 minutes to de-stress and just allowing that time for you to regroup. It's like a reset. And we all need that. And in the culture we live in right now, we are so bombarded that we don't take that time. We feel like, oh, no, I have too much work to do. I can't take a time out. But if you don't take a time out, you're going to be forced to take it, because, again, your body's going to shut down and something's going to happen.
I think it's great whenever we hear about success stories, like, for example, your client that was held up at gunpoint. I mean, that has got to be an extremely traumatic situation. And then to, I guess, kind of recuperate from that and go on to living a normal life. And that's kind of like what I'm trying to accomplish with this episode, because I want to let the guys listening know that there's obviously hope beyond this, that this is something that you can deal with, that you can eventually make go away if you take the right approach and the right steps. From your experience, from your work, people that you've worked with, are there people that, for example, came to you with anxiety, with stress, with panic attacks that are now completely gone from their lives? Like, I can't believe that I'm here today, and 6 months ago, a year ago, I was in a place where I couldn't function, and I'm okay now.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. Where people transcend that whole experience and they connect and are so much more empowered to really be who they are. And that's really exciting when somebody reaches that point, because they actually, in some cases, I've had situations where someone ended up quitting their job because they realized they weren't on purpose. They weren't doing what they really were meant to be doing. And they were able to move on to a whole different situation. And it was so gratifying for him because it really totally changed his life. And he excelled so much more. I mean, the fears were just gone. And I think, you know, it's funny because the American Institute of Stress did a study, and the number one stressor that came out of their studies, which have been done over 30 years, is work and losing your job. I mean, that's like the biggest stressor that people have. And so, you know, again, those fears manifest and people are afraid to take vacations. We are a country who takes the least amount of vacations, even though businesses offer X amount of weeks vacation. People don't take them. It's really important to take them. And then when they take them, they take their computers and their cell phones and everything with them, so they're not detached from that work and from all that stimulus, and that perpetuates those fears and anxieties, and it's really important. And I'm hoping in time we'll have a paradigm shift in our business culture, because it really has to change. The absenteeism, the illnesses are just increasing exponentially, and it's harmful. It's harmful to our basic economy. It's harmful to our well-being. We're not just what we do. We're not just work. And it's important to have more balance and to remember to take care of ourselves. And I think men are particularly lax at taking time to give themselves what they need and to recognize what they need. So,
oh yeah, taking time off from work, going to get regular checkups. And for some reason, I guess it's the older guys too are very laxed about that. When we always joke about how the wives or the women in our lives nag us about go to the doctor, get a checkup, it's time for this, it's time. And because I don't know what it is about the male species, but we're just like, yeah, I'll go when I'll go, or I don't have time, or too much things going on, that unfortunately we end up going when something is forcing us to go because we're just not feeling well anymore. And I think it's better if you can take a preventive approach, a proactive approach, to prevent something from growing out of control.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, how many young men have ended up with, you know, heart attacks, and there was no sign. They were athletes and, you know, but they really weren't paying attention to the signs. And that's one of the key things that is critical, is really to develop this sort of mindfulness and awareness. And also just to look at, you know, how are you reacting to situations? Notice feelings. You know, men tend to compartmentalize, and that's great, but it's really important to recognize, you know, has somebody cut you off in traffic? Are you, you know, giving them the finger, or are you just, okay, big deal, move on to the next activity? And what happens is we, you know, men and women take on these stresses that don't need to be part of our lifestyle, and we can behave differently, which will actually give us more energy, which will give us more vitality, and I like to say will supercharge our lives, because it allows us to really be in our full energy rather than depleting it by giving away the energy in all these negative patterns, and really looking at things differently so that, you know, we don't end up with the heart attack, we don't end up with the stroke, and we end up instead really so integrated and fully present in our lives, instead of worrying about, oh my gosh, but I, you know, by this year I was supposed to make X amount of dollars and I'm not at my goal yet. And, you know, we get caught up in these sort of external things, and we fail to even notice what's happening internally. And, you know, there just needs to be a balance. And I think we rage out of control because we get pressures. You know, we get pressures from families and from friends even. You know, gosh, what happens if I lose my job and I won't have income, and who will I be? And, you know, what will my friends think? What will my family think? You know, we get into these fears that, you know, we play out scenarios that aren't even real. They're all these illusions. And then that creates more dis-ease in our bodies and more you know, monkey minds, more chatter in our brains that aren't productive. So to really be productive, it's really, again, about coming back to that integration and coming back to that balance and knowing that you're more than your job, you're more than your thoughts, you know, and just take it all in and give it a different perspective. And it allows you to kind of relax a little more with what is instead of being so reactionary.
Such valuable information that you shared with us. And I'm very, very thankful that you took the time to explain all these different things to us to help add some clarity to a lot of questions that we receive from the listeners. Where can people interact with you if they want to learn more about your work? This website that you mentioned is really important. It's 3minutestodestress.com.
Yes, right. And my book, Escape from Anxiety, Supercharge Your Life with Powerful Strategies from A to Z, which has, like I said, over 100 different strategies. And it's really helpful because you can open to any letter of the book and you can find something that's going to resonate with you. And so listeners can access that at escapefromanxiety.com. And it's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and select bookstores. So it's readily available. And I highly recommend it because it's a lot of what my integrated life plan, personal coaching system is all about and is based on. So it would really give you a lot of information in one place. And it also ties in with a website that has videos and other support on it. So once you have the book, there's a password and username to log on to that website to actually even get more information. So it's just a wealth of material, and I just really highly recommend it. And I'm grateful to be able to share it with you.
Peggy, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. This was informative. I know the listeners gained a lot of valuable information. We definitely recommend that people check out 3minutestodestress.com. Peggy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rob. This has been a pleasure to be with you.
Again, that was Peggy Seelfon, and you can check her website out at 3minutestodestress.com. Also, the name of the book is Escape from Anxiety, which is available at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever great books are sold. So I want to thank you for hanging out. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can shoot me an email at robaguilarshow@gmail.com. That's A-G-U-I-L-A-R. So it's robaguilarshow@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions, if you have any topics that you'd like for us to cover, shoot me an email. So up next, we have Tripping Beats. Thank you very much for hanging out. I'll see you all in the promised land.
Transformado en hombre a venir. menudo me recuerdas a alguien. Tu sonrisa la imagino sin miedo. Invadido por la ausencia, me devora la impaciencia. Me pregunto si algún día te veré. Ya sé todo de tu vida y sin embargo no conozco ni un detalle de ti. El teléfono es muy frío, tus llamadas son muy pocas. Yo sí quiero conocerte y tú no a mí. Por favor, dame una cita. Vamos al parque, entra en mi vida sin anunciarte. Abre las puertas, cierra los ojos. Vamos a vernos poquito a poco. Dame tus manos, siente las mías como dos ciegos. Santa Lucía, Santa Lucía. La primera vez pensé, se ha equivocado. La segunda vez no supe de qué decir. Las demás me dabas miedo, tanto loco que andas suelto. Y ahora sé que no podría vivir sin ti. Por favor, dame una cita. Vamos al parque, entra en mi vida sin anunciarte. Abre las puertas, cierra los ojos. Vamos a vernos poquito a poco. Dame tus manos, siempre las mías, como dos ciegos. Santa Lucía, Santa Lucía, Santa Lucía. A menudo me recuerdas a mí.
Es el momento de decir adiós. Recuerda que los que se quedan no lo pasarán mejor. Y te das cuenta que es más fácil esperar y alargar el camino que más tarde nos va a separar. Muchacho, vete ya a otro lugar. Cabeza alta y lágrimas, porque regresarás, ya verás. Aguanta el tiempo y anda. Despídete, pero no dejes de mirar atrás. Abrázame, calor me llene hasta que vuelvas. Y te das cuenta que es más fácil esperar y alargar el camino que más tarde nos va a separar. Muchacho, vete ya.